back there again. And this chapter is, the first part of this, or this chapter kind of makes me a little nervous. A lot of it makes me nervous, but just because I want to deal with it right. But the first part of this chapter is dealing with charity, dealing with your alms and things like that, from what I understand. And it's very controversial. We can go both ways with it too far. You know, we can give too much, and then we can never give anything when the Lord lays on our heart to give. And we looked at verses 1 and 2. We'll start in verse 1 and read down through verse 6 is what we'll do here in chapter 11. That's the one I didn't look right. I was looking at chapter 10. I was really getting nervous there. So, chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, verse 1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree be fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, neither either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day given to us, Lord. Thank you for the blessings in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given to us so we can be here tonight to worship you. And we thank you for the week that you've given to us, Lord, the blessings. I thank you most of all, Lord, for our salvation, Lord, you freely saved us with. Lord, we thank you for your word that you've given to us, Lord, that we can lean upon, we can read, study, meditate, draw closer to you, Lord, and learn more about you. Lord, and just help us tonight as we try and bring forth your word, that you would take us out of the message, Lord, and just give us the words to say and be with your word as it goes out, Lord. You would mold and make us as what you see fit for us to be, Lord, and just be with Dad as he's with Grandma tonight, Lord. You would help her and help Mom and Dad as they take care of her. Just got me blessed in the situation there around all that, Lord. Be with the other prayer requests we mentioned. Lord, bless in those. Lord, just and save those that are lost here tonight, Lord, before it's eternally too late, Lord. In His name, pray and ask these things. Amen. We met it down through verses 1 and 2. We looked at this, that in this chapter 11, he begins talking about charity, about giving away what the Lord's given you. And all through the other, all through from chapter 1 all the way down through chapter 10, he talks about, and we showed you those verses there, that it's good. All a man should eat, drink, and enjoy the fruit of his labor. That's what's all through this chapter. All through this book so far. And we get to chapter 11, and he says, give it all away. It's like, now wait a minute. You were telling me before to keep it. Now you're telling me to give it away. Like, which one do you want me to do? Well, if you ask me my opinion, I'll tell you what I believe and why the Lord's doing it is because He knows us pretty well. He knows that if we get over here and we keep keeping everything, we start enjoying it, it's not going to be long until we're going to be thinking, look what I've done. Look at here. What I've done, look at what all I can do, how I can enjoy the fruit of my labor. Look what I've done. So the Lord says, I want you to remember where it came from. So I want you to give it away. I want you to enjoy it. But while you're enjoying it, I want you also to know that I can give it to you again. So give it away. You know, but I also believe this in here that we have to do, like verse 2, he talks there about give a portion to seven and also to eight. I'm going over this again because I want you to know where I'm coming from all this in case we've forgotten, you know, because it's a touchy subject. So, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. What I believe he's saying there is we need to take care of the Lord's while our giving. There's an order in which we have to do. We need to, number one, give to the Lord. We know that. We need to give to the Lord. Then, the second is we need to take care of our families. After those two things are done, then we can enjoy and we can give out Okay? But I believe that we have to take care of the Lord's and take care of our family. And then, with what's left, I believe the Lord will lay on our heart where to give it to. And we get down to verse 3 here, where he says, "If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." Some of these verses in Ecclesiastes and, well, in different places of the Bible are almost like riddles. It's a lot like that. Talking about a tree falling and a cloud dumping the rain. I go to Lord, I pray a lot about, I don't know what else to do. I look up commentaries and some of those I laugh. I don't think they knew what they was talking about either. They just wrote down something to fill, so I don't have a verse with a blank there. But if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And we know, and I sat down, I prayed about this and got to looking at it, and I remembered when I was taken in school, I think, well, I'm not really sure what class it was. It might have been physical science. I don't think it's physical science, but about the rain. And I remembered a picture in the textbook about how that you have the cloud over here, it's dark, and it's rain's coming down on the ground. And if rain falls on the ground, and then some of it goes into the ground, some of it goes over into creeks and streams and rivers and lakes and oceans, where it's heated up again, and it goes back up as steam into the mist, into the clouds, and it comes back over here and turns dark and falls down again. So we understand that the clouds, when they're full of rain, they dump it on the earth. But I think there's more to this. He's not just giving us a science lesson. And I don't think that's what he's doing. I think he's saying here that it would, just like the cloud dumps when it's full, it would be just like the wealthy, or when the Lord gives you extra, then you can give to the Lord and give to the poor, and the Lord will give them right back to you. Again, it's a circle. It just goes around and around, if you will. A circle, I don't know what else to say about it. But when you follow the Lord's will, and I'm not saying, I want to repeat this again, I'm not saying that everyone that comes up with their hand out, you need to put money in their hand. Okay? I'm not saying that. Okay? But I think that if we give to the Lord first, we take care of our family, we're reading, we're studying His Word, we're praying like we ought to be, our lives are in order where they ought to be, then when someone comes up and they hold their hand out, we can pray and ask the Lord what to do, and He'll tell us what to do. I believe He tells us He'll guide and lead us. I don't think He means except for in this portion, we're all on our own. The Lord will show us what we need to do. I'm saying that again because you can probably tell I'm a little nervous because it's a touchy subject. And I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I believe here the rain is, the Lord has given us example of something that we see every day. When it rains and the clouds empty and they fill back up, we understand how that works. That He can give to us again whenever we follow His will and we give out the way He wants us to. Okay? He'll give it back. It's just like when we give our tithe. We shouldn't put our tithe in the offering box thinking about what we could have done with that money. Okay? That's the wrong way of giving. Just like when we give to someone, the Lord lays on our heart to give to someone. How does the Bible say that you're supposed to give alms? Charity. How does He say you're supposed to do it? Without wanting anything back. Without expecting anything in return. That's the way it should be done. If it's done in any other way, then it's wrong. According to this here, what we're talking about here. Now, I'm not talking about loans and things. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when you give alms, you give charity. You're to give those not expecting anything in return. Amen. And then he goes on here, and I think that's what he's talking about there. And he that I'm in the wrong verse. Verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Then he says, and if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. That kind of makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? If a tree falls down towards the north, there it is. It can't move itself. Now you think about that. As a tree standing, Okay? As a tree standing up, it's standing there, right? I mean, it's holding together. But when a tree falls over, can it now move itself? It can't move itself. Is there any other thing that pops into your mind there that once it's done, you can't move yourself? And what I got to looking at about this, what I believe he's talking about here is we have one time right now in our lives to serve the Lord and to follow Him. The Lord will give us what we need, and when we follow His will and we give it out, when He puts it in our heart to, He'll give it back to us. Okay? We have one time in this life to do that. I'm not talking about one example, but one life to follow the Lord's will. If a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Here's what I believe this is meaning here. And I'll just read what I have written down here. The tree here, I believe, is talking about man. While he lives his life, he has to choose which he's going to serve. His money or serve the Lord. How are you going to do it? Are you going to... And it's just in this one life that we have to serve the Lord. To do what the Lord lays on our heart to do. There's a lot of times... I don't remember what preacher it was here preaching in a meeting. I think it was Brother Peacock. I think is who it was. And he said that I may be wrong. You may remember who it was. But he went to a station, he was getting gas, and the Lord laid on his heart to give a track to this Harley guy, big old burly, leather, tattooed, burly, you know, guy sitting there, looked mean. He's like, I don't want to give him no track. So he went inside to pay, and he walked around that guy. You know, he knew he's supposed to do this. There's strangers meeting in the way, okay? He knew he was supposed to do this, but he was scared of the guy. He said, I'm not doing that, Lord. I'm not doing that. So he goes in, and there's this little old lady behind the counter. There, like grandma, you know? He's like, I'll give her a track. So he gives her a track. She gets mad, wads it up, throws it back at him, cusses him up one side and down the other. He's like, that's what he expected from out there, from the burly, big old burly guy, not from the little old lady. So he goes out, kind of wounded puppy with his tail between his legs. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know why. Okay, Lord, I'll give him the track. Kind of arguing with the Lord, he said. Goes out there and, excuse me, sir, and gives a burly man a track, and he opens it up, and he sits on his back and says, man, this is just what I've been looking for. You know, he had one opportunity to serve the Lord in that. One. How many strangers do we meet that the Lord lays on our heart to say something, to do something? One opportunity. You may never see him again. You may never meet him again. But the Lord lays on your heart, this is what I want you to do. I want you to help him. And I said last time, and I believe this is true, that I don't think here that he's talking about it has to be always money you're giving out. I know anytime we talk about charity, we talk about any of these things, we always go towards money. I think we can give out food. We can give out our time to helping them. We can do those things. But here, and like I think it was Brother Peacock, gave out the track there. He had one chance. And when you pass that up at the end of your life, it's still passed up. You can't go back and redo it. Once it's done, it's done. And I think that's what he's talking about here. When you die, if you fall toward the south, and I'm not necessarily a direction, if you fall and you've done what the Lord said to do, it's done. If you fall and you didn't do what the Lord said to do, it's still not done. In your case, you did not do what the Lord said to do. And you can't go back and change it because there it is. Once you die, you have no more chances. Okay? I believe that's what he's talking about there. Verse 4, he says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Thought about this and prayed about it, and it makes sense. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Oh, if the wind's blowing real hard, from what I understand, you don't really want to go out and sow your seed because it'll blow the seed everywhere. Put a seed in different places, from what I understand. Now, I didn't talk to a lot of farmers about this, but that's my understanding. I'm not a farmer. But when you observe the wind and you watch the wind, do we know when the wind's going to blow and when the wind's not? We don't really know that. We don't. And where I'm getting this from, we planted some seed in our backyard. Not our garden, but I planted some grass seed in our backyard and had one of those things you twirl and it threw the seed out there. And the wind was blowing. Well, I was walking this way. When I got done, I had seeds all over my pants. I was walking into the wind, so it was blowing it back on me. I had more seeds on me than I did on the ground. You know, so the wind blows things wherever it will. It just blows it around. So, say, well, what does that have to do with giving our being charitable? What does that have to do with it? If you're going to sit here and you're going to try and figure out where this is going, how it's going to be used, then you're doing it all wrong. Then you're only going to give it to ones that you think are going to use it right. You should give your charity when the Lord tells you to give it. Because the Lord is the one in charge of how it's going to be used. That person is going to give an answer to how they use what you give them. If they use it right, then that's great. If they use it wrong, they're going to give an answer to that. But do you want to give an answer for not giving them the opportunity to serve the Lord? When you think about it, that's what we're doing. We're taking a blessing from them and from us. You know? So, we don't want to do that. I mean, we like blessings, right, from the Lord. We enjoy them, right? We do. So, we want to allow other people to have those blessings too. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. When you try and figure out how it's going to be used, you're not going to sow your seed. You're not going to give out your charity. Okay? At the same time, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, we talked before about when you give, just a while ago, when you give charity out, your alms, your time, your food, whatever it is, when you give it out, the Lord will give it back again. That's what he said. And so what he was talking about there, I believe, in verse 3, that the clouds full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and he fills them back up again. Okay? So, let's say we're always concerned about how they're going to take care of it. How are they going to do it? Okay? I'm not going to give this person anything because I don't believe they're going to use it right. Well, but the Lord's laid on your heart to give. Okay? Now, I'm using that. I want to stress that. When the Lord lays it on our heart, okay, not just anybody that comes up and asks for money, yeah, sure, I'll give you money. No, I work hard for that money. No, so we don't want to just give it out to everybody unless the Lord lays it on our heart. So the Lord lays it on our heart, and we're trying to figure out, regardless of what the Lord's told us, okay, we're trying to figure out how they're going to use it. It's none of our business. The Lord's laid it on our heart to do. So if we're concerned about how they're going to give it out, and when we do give it out, when the blessing has come back in, we're going to look at the blessings the same way. You think about it. If you're concerned about how the money is going out, when your blessing comes back, you're going to be like regarding the clouds. Is that rain clouds or are those good clouds? Is this blessing good? Do I need to take this? Why are they giving this to me? What's going on behind this? How'd they get that? Is this stolen? Is it not? I mean, you don't trust people anyway. So are you going to trust people to give you something? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm making it very clear. It's in my mind, but sometimes trying to get it out, it's not very good. But when we trust the Lord in those things, the Lord can take care of all different kind of things. I mean, He can take care of everything. But too many times, you know, and I'm just as guilty as everybody. You know, when somebody comes up with their hand out, and I'll be honest with you, the first thing I think is get a job. That's the first thing I think. You know, and it's because you know, I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but it's because I've been in churches a lot where we've had them come in and that's what they want. So, and we've had people here that came in and y'all, some of you men took him to put gas in his truck because he needed gas going down the road and put what, 60-something cents in there and it was full? And he wanted the money? You know, that only happens one time. You remember that fella? You know, because he's, you know, but we have to be careful, okay, that we don't have the wrong attitude. Because it's very easy for me to get over here and don't give nothing. I give to the Lord, take care of my family, I have a good time, and that's it. You want those things, you go get your own job and do it yourself. You know, if I'm not careful, I'll go that way and I'll have that attitude. And there's other, and we got to watch it. We're not over here to where we give to other people. Then when it comes time to give to the Lord, we don't have the money to. Lord, I gave it away already. Well, that's not good. Now we can't serve the Lord because we're doing too much other stuff. Oh, and we need to be in the middle of this. And I believe, Dad said it many times, and I believe I finally heard it a long time ago, because he would say, if you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. And he started telling me that when I was in school. If you don't know what to do on this, skip it, do what you know to do. That's it. Easy. Okay. I finally heard it. It was after I got out of school that I heard it. If we're doing what we know to do, okay, and let's just think about it for a minute. What do we know to do? We know to read our Bible. We know that, right? Read our Bible. We pray. We know to pray. We know to come to church. We know to take care of our family, tithe. We know the teachings of the Bible, the doctrine the Bible teaches. We know those things. Study. If we're doing those things like we're supposed to be, the things we don't know about, they'll take care of. The Lord will take care of those. Lord will. And I believe that's the way this charity is. If we're doing what we ought to be doing and we're seeking the Lord, He'll take care of it. He will. And we'll know when to give. And we'll know when the blessings come up. We'll know the ones to take and the ones not to take. Well, things people, you know, it's like, okay, if you're on a construction site and somebody comes up and they say, hey, you want to buy a drill? Nope. I don't. You're on a construction site, you're a stranger wanting to sell a drill. I'd like to know what construction site that drill came off of. Because a lot of times they'll sell them pretty cheap. And you get to looking at them. I know a guy that bought one and got to looking at it and there was initials on it. It had been taken. So, you know, the Lord will open up your eyes to some things. Okay? The things that aren't blessings that will end up hurting you in the end. So, don't regard the clouds. Keep our eyes on the Lord. That's what we need to do. Verse 5, he says, As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God that maketh all. So, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. As we're giving out our charity, our alms, our time, whatever it is that the Lord laid on our heart to give out, we do not know how they're going to use it. We're not going to be concerned about that. We're concerned with whether the Lord wants us to give it out or not. Let the Lord deal with them on what they're going to do with it after the fact. Then, because we don't know how the Lord's going to use it. We don't know how the Spirit's going to work in this. We don't know. It's just like Brother Peacock giving out that tract to that burly biker. I mean, you have an image of them being hard and mean. And then him sitting down on his back, and this is just what I've been looking for. You don't know how the Lord's going to use what you're going to give to bless you, and bless them, and to bless you. You don't know. You don't know the way the Spirit is going to work in those things. So we need to do what the Lord lays on our heart. Okay? Regardless, I'm going to say this, and you'll probably one day catch me. You know, regardless of what it looks like. Okay? Too many times, though, it's too easy. And I'm just being honest with you. It's too easy to go according to what we see. For me, okay, it's too easy to go according to what I see. So, but we need to go according to what the Lord tells us to do. Because He may have a special task for that purpose. Okay? And we don't know about it. It's just, and he goes on, he says, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. I think he's giving an example here. You know, we don't understand how, I sure don't, how a baby grows in a mother's womb. I mean, I don't get it. It blows my mind. It's a miracle. To me, it's a miracle of childbirth. Every time, it's a miracle. Whenever Melinda was born, of course, that was a miracle in my mind, too. But we were there at the hospital. It was actually when we were, they were telling us all these different percentages. Tell you what, any young people, don't listen to those percentages if you're married. That will scare you to death. If I listened to the percentages of what can go wrong with a child, I would have never wanted any. Because the chances of those things going wrong, the chance of a child being born perfectly healthy, it's scary. I mean, it's scary. When they start telling out these percentages, this is a percentage, this is a, you look it up. I don't have the percentages with me. I should have looked it up and brought them tonight, but I didn't think about it till right now, so I didn't have time. But you know, it's scary. It's scary, the things that just a gene off, a chromosome off, all different things that can happen. You know, the Lord is in charge of all those. The Lord has His hand on every chromosome. Don't you think about that? When the child is being born, it's not just by happenstance that a healthy child is born. It's not. And I'll tell you, it's not by happenstance that a child is born with a chromosome out. It's not. The Lord didn't just, oops. No. He put it there. He did it. You know, and you say, well, why would He do that? Y'all know a family, Terry Lawson, right? Terry Mary Lawson. Who Kim was born, chromosome out. There might have been some other things wrong there. But he said, he told Dad, and I heard Dad, he told me after we went down there, that Terry said that the reason Kim was born the way she was is for him. Because he needed that. You know, the Lord does things for us. That's what He does. He does them for us. Because we need it. The Lord takes care of us. I mean, you just think about the miracle of childbirth, how the Lord has His hands on those things that, those little, I don't even, they're itty bitty. I mean, the chromosomes are itty bitty. You know, He puts them all in order and He knows where to go, and we're still trying to figure them all out. We don't know how that works. I tell you, that's how the Spirit works. In ways we don't understand. We don't understand it. We can't explain it. But we can see the miracle of it. But we don't know where it began. We don't know how it begins and all that. But we know, we see the end of it. We see the miracle of it. Okay? It says, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You know, we don't know all the works of God. And there again, I believe there that He's telling us there again that we don't know the way the Lord's going to work in everything. We don't know how He does it all. I mean, you just stop and think about it, that it's Wednesday night. Okay? How many? Now the Lord says, where two to three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst, right? And you just think about this. It's Wednesday night. How many churches across the world, across the country, are having services on Wednesday night, and the Lord made a promise that where two to three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst? He's in the midst of us. He's in the midst of Homestead, Homestead Church. He's in the midst of Willow Hill, there at Willow Hill, Salem. He's in the midst of these churches. I don't understand how that can be. I do not understand it. I can't be in two places at one time, more or less 300,000. You know, I can't do it. And you think about the prayers that go up to the Lord. We don't understand how the Lord works in all these things. We pray and ask the Lord to heal people. Oh, and they go in, they get a test, and there's cancer there. It's cancer. There's nothing we can do. We just have to keep you comfortable. Come back in a month for another x-ray, and they come back. I don't know where it went. It's gone. We don't understand how the Lord works in these things. We don't. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. He moves around in this world, and He works. He works in our lives, and He works in those around us. We don't understand how the Lord is going to work. We just need to trust Him in what He tells us to do. That's it. That's the bottom line about it. In verse 6, He says, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." So He says, in the morning sow thy seed. I don't think He's talking about when you first get up in the morning, go sow your seed. I think He's talking about when you're young. When you're young, in your youth. When it's easy. When you can get out and you have a lot of energy to go and do. Sow the seed. Okay? Do what the Lord lays on your heart when you can, when you're young. You won't regret it. You will not regret serving the Lord. He goes on, He says, "And in the evening withhold not thy hand." You know, whenever we're at work, there's one job I was on down in the city. I meet another guy, we were down there, we were putting new water taps into houses, basements, and having to drill through 15, 20 foot of mud with a hand drill down through there. It's kind of a pain. And do all that, and you have to drill out. Then you connect the copper on to the end of the drill, and you pull it back in. We done that 3 or 4 days. By the time the end of the day was coming, I'm just talking 8 hours, I could hardly lift up my tools with my arms. I was so, my arms would just give. Because you brace up against the concrete wall and kind of pull it back into you. My arms, my legs ached, hurt. Done that for 3 or 4 weeks straight. I was in pain. You know, it's kind of like when you're getting older. You know, I'm getting to the point to where that sometimes I forget that. Yeah, I feel sometimes 18. I don't look 18. I don't act 18. Well, sometimes I do act 18. But my body reminds me pretty quick that I'm twice that old. I'm not 18 anymore. That's 36 for some of y'all who figure that up. But, you know, in the evening, withhold not thy hand. Don't quit just because it gets tiring. It's not time to stop. The Lord's still giving you breath. The Lord's still giving you a life. It's still time to do the Lord's work. It's still time. It's time now. It may be difficult. It may be painful. But the Lord says, in the evening, withhold not thy hand. Don't stop just because you're tired. You know, I'm thinking of some older people that I know that some of them went on with the Lord, but they gave a lot of time to me, a lot of time. I'm thinking of Uncle John over in Louisiana. who I did not like, because he would have me over at his house and fix me lunch and then read the Bible to me, and I was lost and I didn't want to be around him. He would come to our house and walk in our house to come shake my hand and tell me he's praying for me when I would run from him. He was very annoying to me. Very. But he gave a lot of time to me to make sure that I knew how to be saved, that I knew what God said about it. He knew, already knew. But every time I saw him, he would shake my hand and say, I'm praying for you. Every time I was at his house, he would read about Jesus Christ to me. We'd sit down and we would eat a meal every time. And he would read the Bible to me. He invested a lot of time. He gave a lot to my life. I think of him. He was an older man. He couldn't get around. He couldn't do a whole lot. But he could do that. And he did. So, we don't need to quit because it gets tiring. And when you think about it, I'm 36 years old and I've been saved for 20 years. I'm getting real tired of the battle. I'll be honest with you, I am. I'm getting tired of the battle day in, day out. Every day. I got to keep throwing stuff out of my mind. I got to keep doing it. I get tired of it after a while. I get tired of it. It never stops. It never lets up. And I'm told that it doesn't get any easier. As you just keep on and keep on and keep on. When you get older, don't quit. Don't quit. I'll give you a reason why. A couple. Number one, the Lord said don't quit. Number two, there's young people watching you. I'm one of them. We're watching you older folks. And it's scary to think that younger folks are watching me. Watching you. You're an encouragement to us. The older folks are an encouragement to us. How you stand. We need to be an encouragement to those that are younger than us. To stand. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep doing what the Lord lays on your heart to do. And do it. Stay on the straight, narrow path. It may be difficult, but the blessings, I believe, are way above what you could ever imagine. He goes on here and he says, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall alike be good. We don't know what the Lord's going to do we? We don't know which is going to prosper. We keep doing what the Lord lays on our heart. In the morning when we're young, when we're older, we keep doing what the Lord lays on our heart. We don't know if anything's going to which ones are going to prosper, which one the Lord's going to use to build them up. We don't know how the Lord's going to use what He's going to use. We don't know. But there again, I don't believe we need to worry about that. Excuse me. Because it's like it says, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper. We don't know which are going to prosper, either this or that. We can't tell you. Because if you was to ask me, I would say, yeah, I would probably give it to this person over here because they're going to use it the right way. I'd probably be wrong. I'd be wrong. The one over here that's not going to use it the right way, they're the ones going to change their life, going to use it in the right way, and help a gob of other people out. All because you've done what the Lord said to do. But I mean, we can't look at it and decide how it's going to be used. We don't know. Or even if we, like you said, or whether they both shall be alike good. We don't know. If we get the two, they're both going to prosper. We can't choose. Can't you? We got to do what the Lord lays on our heart to do. And I believe He will lay it on our heart to do. And I'm going to qualify that with saying, as long as we're doing what we know to do. Okay? If you're not doing what you know to do, okay, how are you going to go ask the Lord what you don't know and get an answer? Okay? Okay, look at it like this. If you're working on a job and you were hired to sweep the floors and you're not sweeping the floors and you go ask the boss for a raise, he ain't going to give it to you, won't he? He'll probably fire you. Because you're not doing your job. You're not doing what you know to do. You're not doing it. So that may be a crude, a bad example. I don't know. But you know, in my mind, it works pretty good. You have to understand the way my mind works, though. But you know, we need to be doing what we know to do. And the Lord will answer all those other unknown questions that we have about charity and about those things. Because like I've said before, I know the Lord's not saying to everyone that comes along with a handout, you need to help them. Sometimes, you know, give an example. Maybe a bad example there again, but work with a guy at Crumley Burger. He's a real good worker, fantastic worker. Had a problem with showing up. When he was there, man, he did a great job. He had a problem showing up. So he didn't show up one time. It put me in a real bad bind. And he done it a few times. I talked to him. Couldn't do it no more. So when he came in the next time, I didn't even have him on schedule. He said, I thought I worked tonight. You did. But look, I just can't deal with this no more. I'm going to have to let you go. So we fired him. And I told him, look, don't go the other way when you see me. Like, we're still friends. Now, I know I've had to do this, but it's not me doing it to you. It's you doing it to you. You just using me to do it. You know, I've got to do it. You know, okay. Then he didn't. He came to my house some, and we talked after that and all, and then we were friends. Then I got an opportunity to where we needed somebody, and I thought of him. Prayed about it. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can get him on. So told the boss, and the boss said, yeah, I'll hire him tomorrow. So I talked to him. The boss hired him. He worked. Worked great. He's one of those guys, and he knew how I thought. If I was down in a ditch and I needed a screwdriver, I'd turn around and right there's a screwdriver. Right there with me, he was fantastic. But he started having a problem. You never guess what with. Showing up. Started having a problem, showing up. So, look, can't do this. I might let you go. Second time. For exact same thing. Second time. Let him go. Then, went to work for Legacy. Legacy said, you know any guys, pre-apprentices, can get in? You know, we need some help. Just some pre-apprentices help. You know, drill holes, dig ditches, stuff like that. Menial work. We don't need them every day. Hey, that'd be good for him. You know. So, call him up and look. I told the boss about you. I was honest to John. I told him, look, he has a problem showing up. Well, that's fine. We'll try. Tell him. Already fired him twice for it. Okay. Third time's the charm. You know, we'll try him again. We'll see what happens. So I told him all that. The boss knows about it. So we hired him, and he worked real good for about a year. Started having problems. Showing up. So finally had enough of it. Fired him from there. And you know, that finally woke him up. You know, that now he's holding his job down. He's in plumbing still, and he's had the same job for almost 3.5 years. And the Lord finally worked on him in that. You know, now we're praying that he'll be saved, but he won't come to church. But we don't know how the Lord's going to work in some things. We don't know, okay? And what reason I gave that example is I helped him 3 times. I'm not saying that's a magical number. I'm saying the Lord laid on my heart every time to do it. So we did it. And the Lord used it finally. I shouldn't say it like that. The Lord used it to help him. Okay? Now he has a family and taking care of them. But in this charity, we need to follow what the Lord lays on our heart. And I'll say it again because I don't think it can be stressed enough. We need to be doing what we know to be doing. If you're not doing what you know to be doing, reading your Bible, praying, studying, coming to church, how are you going to know what to do about charity? How are you going to know? You're not. You're going to go by what you feel, by what you see, not by what the Lord lays on your heart. Okay? So, Lord willing, this be a blessing to you and to help. You know, pray for us as you go through Ecclesiastes. We have 1.5 more chapters to go through there. But pray about it. I don't remember who led the singing. Brother John, sorry. Let's stand, and Brother John, if you come and have a song.